Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Attention, collectors of vinyl. Have you ever gone into a record store and felt overwhelmed by all the unfamiliar options? Are you frustrated by the constantly increasing prices of classic rock staples? Do you avoid streaming music or long for the days when music was recommended to you by a friend instead of an algorithm? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then check out I'd Buy That for a Dollar, a podcast about inexpensive, common, and underappreciated records that are waiting to be rediscovered. Each week, hosts Sean, Jeremy, and Peter discuss an album and the artist's history. Previous episodes include selections by The Isley Brothers, The Carpenters, The Doobie Brothers, and Donna Summer, among others. Become a bargain bin pro and impress all your friends with cool music trivia. Listen to I'd Buy That for a Dollar wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening to Creative Control. While I have you here, please consider supporting Youth Empowerment and Support Services, otherwise known as YES. Based in Edmonton, Alberta, YES provides immediate and low-barrier overnight and day shelter, temporary supportive housing, and individualized wraparound supports for young people aged 15 to 24. They work collaboratively within a network of care focused on the prevention of youth homelessness by providing youth with the necessary supports to stabilize their housing, improve their well-being, build life skills, connect with community, and avoid re-entry into homelessness. Learn more about how to donate or otherwise support YES by visiting yess.org.
Hey, this is Trevor from Halifax calling in to say that I support Creative Control on Patreon because I think long-form arts journalism is a crucial part of music culture and there's simply not enough of it out there today. Vish is a master interviewer, he lands great guests, and he has his finger on the pulse of the ever-changing music landscape both here in Canada and abroad. For all of these reasons and many more, I think you should support Creative Control on Patreon too.
To make your flexible monthly donation to Creative Control, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol today. I'm Visha's wife, and I will love him no matter what you do. And now he has me on the record saying that.
The obvious answer is they just can't stand us. I can hardly stand to be stood up here at all.
Kiwi Jr. is an excellent rock and roll band full of people from Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, who are all currently based in Toronto, Ontario. Comprised of lyricist, singer, and guitarist Jeremy Gaudette, drummer Brohan Moore, bassist and word doctor Mike Walker, and guitarist Brian Murphy, Kiwi Jr. released their excellent second album on January 22nd, 2021, via Sub Pop Records around the world, and here in Canada, via their own imprint, Kiwi Club. The record is called Cooler Returns, and at some point in the weeks following its release, all the boys and I connected for a spirited conversation about its songs, the actor Michael Caine, drumming, horse racing, Brian's amazing Instagram account, The Brib, which collects fascinating Prince Edward Island news headlines, talking about Toronto, different kinds of guitars and one kind of piano, and much more. A part of the Entertainment One Network, with the support of listeners like you who follow and subscribe to this podcast and spread the word about it, and make flexible monthly donations at patreon.com/creativecontrol, with additional support from Blackbird Music, a well-stocked record store with locations in Edmonton and Calgary, Alberta, and friendly staff who will happily help you source special orders for hard-to-find titles, which you can learn more about at blackbird.ca, and Massey Hall's concert film series, live at MasseyHall.com, where you can stream dozens of 30-minute films for free, including performances by past podcast guests like Andy Schaaf. Plus in-kind support from Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton. This is the 612th episode of Creative Control, featuring the lovely and talented Jeremy, Brohan, Mike, and Brian of Kiwi Junior, with your host, me, Vish Khanna. Hello, Kiwi Junior. Are you there?
Hello.
Hey. Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Nice to hear from all of you at once. It's like talking to the monkeys or something. That was great. I want to begin by asking each of you to speak individually. I know we've done this before, but for the people listening who may not be familiar, Jeremy, are you there? Can you hear me right now?
Loud and clear. I'm Jeremy. I'm the only one not wearing a hoodie.
You got your Sunday
dressed
best
up
on.
For the occasion. I love it. Yeah.
It's Friday night.
Did you just do 18 holes of golf? What are you wearing exactly? It's like an Argyle sweater.
Cardigan. And it's got some little spits of suede on it.
Spits of suede?
Little bits of suede.
You're just spitting suede at your own sweater. Okay. That's nice. It's a nice one. It's nice to see you, Jeremy. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Nice to see you, too.
Where in the world are you at the moment?
In Toronto. In my bedroom. West Toronto. Downtown.
West of downtown. What?
West Toronto / downtown.
Okay. Nice to see you. How are things going in Toronto as we're speaking? Here in Edmonton, it's very mild. The weather has heated up considerably, and yet the mood remains cold and distant. How about Toronto?
Well, I just walked to the grocery store and it was pretty cold, temperature and mood-wise. I don't know. I don't get out of the house that much these days, so maybe I'm not the best one to judge either the weather or the vibe in the city, but
right.
It seems like things are maybe on the upswing.
Do you have to work from home or do you have to go somewhere?
No, I work from home 9 to 5 every day.
Hmm. Nice. That's not bad, isn't it? I would say. Well, I don't know how you feel, but do you like
it? Yeah, for sure. Sometimes I miss like being downtown and spending $15 on lunch and just like having access to I don't know, whatever downtown core has to offer.
I miss the financial oppression and the lack of choice for what I really want.
Yeah.
That's what I miss.
Miss the garlic bread at Scattabush.
Yeah, there you go. There, that's what we miss. Well, it's nice to see you, Jer. I'm just going to move around the table here. Who's next here? Brian, are you there?
Hey, I'm here, yeah.
Nice to see you. You're looking well, my friend. For those who are listening, Brian has a nice full hoodie and a nice full mustache, if I might say.
Thanks. Yeah, you're looking pretty good yourself. You got a nice full beard.
Yeah, thanks for saying I look good. I don't know that anyone else agrees. Anyone in my vicinity? Family, coworkers, nobody likes this.
You got the salt and pepper going? It's great.
Yeah, there's not a lot I can do about that. People often compliment me like that's something in my control. It's just happening to my head by itself, the salt and the pepper. My head has been spiced by nature.
Yeah.
That would be an excellent hair care product.
Well seasoned.
Don't you think? Spiced by nature? Salt and pepper hair dye. Spiced by nature. That's what I would call it. Anyway, enough about me and my respective product lines. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing well, I guess. Just basically waiting it out, you know. Not much to report. We just were in day 110 or something of lockdown. So
right. And you are ostensibly a full-time musician, yes?
Ostensibly, yes.
You don't have like an office job or something you have to go to is what I'm getting at. So you've been, and you don't have to get into it. If you do stuff on the side, if there's a legal activity that helps pay the bills, we don't have to talk about that on the podcast. That's for sure. That this would be admissible in a court of law, as far as I know. My point here is this. You are used to being on the road, and I assume we'll get to this with all of you as best we can, but like to put out a record, you know, and get some acclaim for it and all those things, and then not be able to hit the road. How foreign an experience is this for you? It must be like, is this hell, by the way?
It's definitely a drag to not get to play play shows and play this record for people. I definitely don't miss certain parts of the road. You know, I don't miss cramming amps into the back of a van and sleeping on couches and stuff. But yeah, for sure. Definitely bummed that we can't play shows and play these songs for people.
Yeah. Well, we all know, for those of us who can see you right now, just the look of you, you're a born performer. Just going to say that and let that hang there. You're a born performer, right? Like, wow. This is, you missed the stage.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's all I know at this point. I don't even know anything else.
Sorry. Everyone else is laughing, and now I can't stop laughing at my own dumb joke. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you feel self-conscious, but you are. If anything, you're a born performer. That's what we'll say from now on. Brian.
We're here for the compliments. Keep them coming. We're here for the compliments.
That'll be my... Fair enough.
I'm entertained for sure. That's great.
No, it's got to be hard. But anyway, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you made time for me and my insults. Thank you, Brian. We'll move on to Mike. Are you there?
Yeah. Hey, Vish.
Nice.
How are you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for asking. No one else really has. You are clearly Mr. Polite, and I relate to that. I try to be polite. I'm one of these pretend polite people. I like to.
You're
yes,
fake nice.
I'm not.
We got that sense.
I'm not exactly fake nice. I resent that a little bit. I'm pretend polite. I open the door, you know, and I make a big show. Oh, look at me, born performer. I'm opening the door for you. Don't you think I'm a good guy? Like I do. Thank you.
You
please.
You dwell in your own chivalry.
That's right. I dwell in my own chivalry. That's what it's going to say on my tombstone. Dwelt in his own chivalry. That would be a good etching. We're going to get someone. That's going to be a lot of letters. Anyway, back to you, Mike. How are things going?
Things are all right. As good as they can be.
Now, I forgot to ask Brian where he was. I assume he's in Toronto. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong. Where are you, Mike?
I'm also in Toronto towards High Park. You were here once before when you came to interview us in my apartment.
Yes, it was a nice one. I remember that apartment. You guys were playing Elvis Costello music. I thought a little too loud. For my ears. Elvis at a certain level of volume is too much, don't you find, with the sort of accent and the glasses? I too much. Through the hi-fi? Did you find it? Do you relate to what I'm saying about Elvis Costello at all?
No, I don't know. I think we enjoy cranking it up, you know?
Yeah, pump it up. Do you pump it up?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was trying to avoid.
So, your house is nice. How's your day-to-day going? Are you having to go out into the world, or are you like Jeremy, like a hermit?
Something of a hermit as well, but not in the same way of working a 9-to-5. Mm. So I had been working before all of this came to a sudden halt. I went back and did a little bit of school, which was pretty fun. It was like a design program, and then otherwise, similar to Brian, just waiting this out.
So you did remote school?
Yeah.
That's a good part of this, right? We have time to upgrade our skills, learn new ones. Anything else besides your design school? Have you picked up any other skills?
None that I'm aware of. We'll see if any come out over the course of the conversation.
Okay. Jeremy, has Mike picked up any skills from your perspective? Have you noticed anything different about him? A little more polite?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen Mike a lot. We haven't been spending time together because we're on lockdown.
What a drag. This is becoming very sad. The sad saga of Kiwi Jr. being separated. Is this the most time you've spent together in recent days, weeks?
It's all virtual. Yeah, we had another video podcast we did a couple days ago.
Wait a minute. What? You did another podcast? You're supposed to be... This is supposed to be like Kiwi Jr. and Creative Control. Like it's a match made in heaven. Isn't that what the critics said? I'm just guessing.
Hey, man. We got to put food on the table by collecting these podcast checks. We got to do
this
what
is
we
like
can.
When Norm Macdonald would do Leno. I was outraged. You're a Letterman Conan person. Why are you on Leno, Norm? I would say to myself. Anyway, no, it's fine. I understand. You got to pay the bills. Well, anyway, Mike, it's good to see you. And we move on to not Beth, but Broen. Broen, are you there?
I'm here.
You're not Beth, right? It says here Beth.
Yeah, I had a little malfunction. Had to switch out the computers. I am now Beth.
How's that feel? How's it? You have been Broen for most of your life, and now you're suddenly your Beth. How's that feel?
It feels good. Feels real good.
A slightly better computer, better outlook on life. Is that what you're saying?
Everything's looking up. Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, that's good. So, how have you been generally? How are things in? Are you in Toronto? I assume.
Also Toronto, yeah.
Yeah, so everybody's got the same sort of vibe. Lockdown mostly. Are you working? Do you have to go out into the world to do your work?
No, I'm working from home, yeah. I do like, yeah, I got like 9-to-5 thing. Okay. Doing that from my bedroom.
Nice. Now, is it your bedroom or Beth's bedroom? I feel like Beth wears the pants in the family.
You wouldn't be wrong.
Is this cutting too close to the bone? I see some nodding heads. I don't mean to insinuate anything. By the way, just so people who are listening understand, who is Beth?
Beth is my partner that okay. I live with.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So she seems very nice, has a nice technical setup. I appreciate that about Beth. I've never met her. Have I met Beth?
I don't know, but she loaned me this computer, so grateful.
That's good. It's nice to see you. Now, Broen, you play. What do you play in Kiwi Junior?
Play the drums.
Is that still going okay?
Well, I haven't actually touched a drum kit in over a year, probably. So, yeah.
You haven't touched it?
That's not true. We just made the record.
Made a record 6 months ago.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I guess I touched the drum kit when we recorded.
They sound good. It sounds like you weren't rusty at all, like you'd been practicing a lot. I'm basing this on the record Cooler Returns, by the way.
Yeah, no, we were rehearsing and we did the record. I guess I haven't touched a drum kit since what, like July?
Yeah,
something like that.
I have a new house. I don't want to turn this into a thing about me, but that's often what happens. But we have a newer house now because did you know Broen, I moved to Edmonton?
I did know that about you. I listened to your podcast.
Oh, that's nice. I regret being mean to you earlier and all the Beth stuff. That was bad. Now that I've alienated one of my biggest fans. Thank you for listening. That's very kind of you. Anyway, so I don't know if you heard, I've talked about it a few times, but I have my drum set downstairs set up. First time in like 20 years. I lived in Guelph and I had it set up every once in a while, but it was too small a space. And, you know, it's nice to have space. And I wish you had space. What are you're renting a smaller place. Can't have drums probably, right?
Yeah, no drums.
I actually have Broen's practice kit set up here in my other room.
Oh, Jesus.
Been banging away on it.
I feel like we're really dumping on Broen on this episode, you know, just making him feel bad about himself somehow. Why do you have his drum kit? Is that where you guys practice?
Well, we haven't practiced since last summer, but I just set it up. We have a storage locker, so I just took it out of there and set it up. Broen, you're more than welcome to come over anytime you want to practice.
Thanks, buddy.
Now, can you play the drums, Broen? Like, can you actually do a decent job of keeping a beat?
I could keep time, very limited.
Yeah.
Okay. But I enjoy it. I enjoy it. It's like just how physical it is, you know, you got to make sure you're breathing and all that. It's fun.
Yeah, unlike other instruments, breathing is key. With guitar, yeah. You just hold your breath for like 45 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
You remember that from being on stage. You're a born performer. I think of the drums as the full body workout. I love it. I'm sweaty. Yeah. I'm breathing. It's like cardiovascular. And you look cool. Yeah. You look a lot cooler than everyone else because you're flailing about like an octopus, you know? I like the drums. Broen, what do you think, buddy? Good, right? The drums? The drums are good, right, Broen?
I mean, you sound like a better drummer than me the way you're describing it.
What? Because the octopus thing? Have you ever seen an octopus play the drums? It's a mess. They got like 8 sticks. It's insane. Anyway, no, I...
Squiddly Diddly used to play the drums.
Who did?
Squiddly Diddly.
All right.
He used to play the drums and the trumpet and the guitar all at the same time with his tentacles.
Right. See? I think then I used the right animal for the... I mean, I didn't do all of those things. Do you like with the one-man bands? You ever see, like... Who is that guy? The guy from Chicago. What's his name? I forget his name, but he used to play everything at once. Does anyone know who I'm talking about? I saw him open for...
The jazz guy?
I don't think he was called the jazz guy. You're thinking of Al Jolson. I think...
yeah.
I can't remember who he was, but he was incredible. And then there's like... Other people have done the one-man band thing. And I don't know. I feel like you guys, some of you play guitars and bass and write songs. Are you writing your own stuff in this time? I'm going to go to Brian first. Have you been writing during this pandemic?
Yeah, I've got like, you know, tons of instrumental meandering demos on my computer for sure. Nothing of importance. No.
Potentially parts for Kiwi Junior songs or just noodling about?
No, yeah, for sure. Potential parts, riffs, stuff like that.
Okay. So you're not... I've talked to lots of musicians and artists who feel so despondent about this time that they don't feel like they can create anything. So yeah. I don't know. You're trying to get... You're chipping away at work on music, is what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I try and spend at least an hour a day, you know, chipping away on the Wurlitzer or the guitar or something.
Okay, cool. Mike, what about you? Are you writing?
Yeah, every so often. I've learned to write in smaller quantities so that I bring Jeremy just a riff instead of an entire verse about Michael Caine or something, and that he can just throw in the garbage.
Michael Caine?
He did send me one time a full song about the actor Michael Caine, and it wasn't in a joking manner. It was a full proposition that we should do a Michael Caine tribute on the next Kiwi Junior record.
Mike, is it just because his name is also Mike? That, why do you like Michael Caine so much?
That is it, actually. You nailed it. I'm making my way through them slowly. One song every three or 4 years.
what was your Michael Caine song fundamentally about? Was it his relationship with Christopher Nolan? Because we were watching the preview for Tenet, my wife and I, the other day. And we're like, what the hell, Michael Caine? And then I watched all of his previews, like all the Christopher Nolan trailers. And like I was like, what the fuck? Michael Caine's in every one of these movies. How is this possible? Is that what your song was about in any way?
To an extent, actually. There was, unfortunately, I think, a Batcave reference. So.
Oh. Wow. Now, what do you like about Michael Caine? By the way, just I'll put this out to everyone. This is chaos in virtual conversation time. But does anyone in the band do a Michael Caine impression? And if so, who does the best Michael Caine impression? Bro, did you put your hand up?
Yeah, he did.
No, I was pointing.
He was pointing at Jeremy, pointing. I'm sure, right?
Yeah, I was
Jeremy,
pointing at
Jeremy. Do you do a Michael Caine impression?
There's no way I'm recording a Michael Caine impression that's going to go up on the internet.
What? Is it a piss poor Michael Caine impression? Is it just a hacky thing to do? What is your feeling here?
Yeah, I don't want to. I mean, it's not a great impression, but it's not really bad. But if I screw it up right now, then it's just going to live on the podcast, and I don't
just
want that.
Just promise me this, as we loosen up, as the interview goes on, and we're all laughing, falling over each other with our laughter and our joy, you'll just break it out like a party trick. All of a sudden, we're like, is Michael Caine here? What the hell happened? Can you do that?
Sure.
Okay. Now, did anyone object? Bro, and when you heard tell a Michael Caine song might be entering the picture, were you like, hey, guys, I have a lot of issues with Michael Caine. I don't think this is a good idea. Was that you?
No. I know Mike has a love for Fernette, and so I wasn't all that surprised.
I'm pulling up the lyrics of the song, by the way, Mike. I'm going to embarrass you.
Now is this has not been recorded. It's just a concept for a song at this point.
This one actually stretches right? way back. I'm not sure why I ended up bringing it up.
This is from 2014.
Yeah,
the email.
It's from 24th.
I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I just want to highlight one line in particular that strikes me as funny.
And okay, that is, let's hear it.
If only I could age like Michael Caine, shoot my days with Christopher. Then by night, I'd slip into my cave.
Wow. You know, I got to say, this is really weird because my children are bored out of their minds most days. They do their school from home. My son told me that he and his young sister have written a new sitcom called The Other Alfred. And The Other Alfred, the concept, and they filmed three episodes with my wife. The concept of The Other Alfred is Alfred Pennyworth and Batman, Bruce Wayne, have gone on vacation, and they've left the care of the Batcave to Alfred's twin brother, the irascible, you know, slob, And his name is also Alfred. He's the other Alfred.
I might get a little confused.
Yeah, there's just a lot of Alfred Pennyworth in my life. And then you guys, this happened yesterday. They shot episode 3, and my son comes to me for notes. He shows me the phone, and the second time I'm like, it needs a story. There's no story here. It's just you two babbling. They're 9 and 6, you know. I'm trying to be encouraging. I'm like, it was good. But he'll ask me for all the notes, and I say, it needs a bit of a story. So they made a vast leap in improving the series yesterday. And then you guys bring up Michael Caine today and Christopher Nolan. That's weird. Don't you think that's odd?
You know who to come for the theme song, I guess, right?
Well, yes, obviously we have it. It's done, which is also strange. Anyway, that's cool. That is very interesting. So, Mike, again, I'm confused. I ask if you're doing any writing. We go back to 2014.
Oh, well, are you doing any writing? You know, when you back and forth in 2014, when I was bringing full songs with lyrics, they were, you know, getting canned. So I learned to just bring short riffs and that kind of thing. Those are the kinds that I work on. Yeah.
The last time I think we spoke, it came up that you know, Jeremy's the primary lyricist, but you, because you have like a writing background or an editing background, you will help refine, fine tune the songs, make them more about Michael Caine. Is that right?
Yeah, as much again about Michael Caine as possible. I don't know if I could take any more credit than any of the other guys in terms of helping Jeremy shape stuff. Like, he'll come to us sometimes with a line or two that he says, like, should I go with A or B or what kind of direction? But for the most part, like, Jeremy does just, like, own the lyrics from the writing and then execution perspective. Yeah, and sometimes we throw in some input. And those tend to be some pretty fun conversations as well. We have a lot of fun when that comes about.
I appreciate your modesty in not taking credit, more credit than anyone else, but could you possibly take more credit than, say, Broen?
This is some serious...
I'd love to. Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay. Just a little bit more. A little bit more. Okay. I feel like I'm getting a little too overly familiar, and I apologize if I'm creating rifts and problems in the Kiwi Junior universe, but you know I love you guys, right? I hope everyone's clear. I love the band. And I'm just having some fun. Jeremy, have you been writing? First of all, Jeremy, do you forgive me for my behavior thus far? And secondly, have you been doing any writing?
What am I forgiving you for? Trying to break up the band?
I'm just being a little hyper. Am I trying to break up the band? I don't think I'm trying to break up the band at all.
Pitting us against one another?
I'm not doing that. I feel like this was all you're doing, and I'm just participating. Anyway, have you been writing at all?
Not really. I sort of just used up a lot of ideas on the last record, and now I have like a new folder, a new notes folder on my phone, where if I come up with lyrics, I'll put them in there, but I'm not really pursuing any big leads or anything when it comes to coming up with new Kiwi Junior songs.
When I was reading the lyrics to Cooler Returns and thinking about the last record, which is called Football Money, I believe, did I get that right? Can somebody ding me? Did I get it correct? Thank you. Getting a thumbs up from Broen. Broen's participating. I don't know why everyone's so down on the guy. He's engaged. My point here is that I was reading the lyrics, and I think of you as a very behavioral, observational songwriter, Jeremy. I feel like you make your way around Toronto, and you look around, and you see things, and you see people, and then you write stuff down in very small print on the vinyl. I'm so old. I was like, I can't read the stupid print. No offense.
Yeah, and man, I agree, by the way. That's kind of screwed up by the printer or something. It came out differently than the PDF, but...
I can't imagine the CD. Is the CD going to be... Is it similar? Do you have to, like, have a magnifying glass to read the entire lyrics?
Well, let's just take a look.
Oh, God, you have the CD right here. Oh, wow.
I don't think the lyrics are in the CD. No, they're not.
Oh, okay.
They're on our website, though.
Too small. They're great. The lyrics are great. My point is, again... Am I right there? Are you kind of, without being able to be immersed among the humans and their doings and their conventions, do you feel a little at a loss about what to write about?
Yeah, I would agree with that in the sense that a lot of the lyrics on this album were written while I was downtown spending $15 on my lunch break, seeing what people were up to, taking notes on my phone and stuff. But yeah, I'm sort of still in the period where the record's out and I don't have an immediate drive to go create another one. I need, like, maybe one more month, and then we'll start.
I forget. Are you someone that needs the band to be together to write? Like, do you need music to drive you into phrasing, lyric writing, and singing, I guess?
No, I wrote some of the songs on the last record, like the chord structures and melodies, before bringing them to the band. And some of them after the fact, some of the words after the blah. Why can't I speak like a normal human?
Well, we're on a Zoom call. Broen is now Beth. Everything's fucked up, man. Like, just take it easy on yourself. Have you seen Brian lately? Look at him. He's glaring at us with this, kind of looks like, I don't know, now he's got a hoodie on. He looks like the Unabomber, for Christ's sake. It's scary. Scary times out there.
Well, what I was trying to say was, sometimes I have full ideas, bring them to the band, and sometimes we'll just be jamming out something instrumental and then write the lyrics afterwards. So it works both ways.
Yeah, I'll come back to you about this for more specific responses, but I want to ask a few lyric questions, and I am going to go to Brian because he's been quiet a little bit in the last little while. Brian, have you scoured over the lyrics at all? I've picked up on a couple of recurring themes. Tennis and funerals. Have you noticed those things?
Yeah, I noticed a couple of themes throughout a few songs like that, and fires. There's a couple songs that mention like buildings on fire and tennis for sure. Yeah. I feel like I made a note of that. We had to do some sort of project for something. Oh yeah, for the Dimitri's thing. But yeah, for sure I noticed.
What is a Dimitri's thing?
That's a top secret project we're working on that Brian wasn't supposed to bring up. Codename Dimitri.
Okay, got it. Was I supposed to know about Dimitri's thing? And is his thing his penis? What are you guys talking about? I didn't understand. Anyway, sorry. Okay, so you made a note of what exactly in terms of the songs, the funerals and the tennis, or more stuff?
Just the through themes in certain songs. Like, yeah, a few songs mention tennis, a few songs mention buildings on fire, a few songs mention horses. There's a couple others. I just can't remember right now.
I can clear this up, by the way. The Dimitri, codename Dimitri project, is we're just getting someone to do some art for us. So we were trying to think of like reoccurring images and things like that.
Oh, okay.
In the lyrics. So that would be, I don't know, good on a poster or something.
It's not like Dimitri Martin or something is writing a comedy album based on your album or something.
Cooler Returns, the stand-up set.
Okay. I'm going to go around. I want to go around a little bit. I've fed some information out there, but Broen, have you picked up on any other lyrical things that struck you? Do you pay attention to the lyrics as the drummer? Because as the drummer, I'm back there listening into the monitor for the lyrics, because sometimes those are the vocal cues are important. So do you spend time listening to the words that Jeremy is saying?
No, not usually.
he's just blathering on. You're not paying attention to a single thing.
I purposely block most of it out, yeah.
Also, when we were working up the songs, you had a click in your ear that was like 1,000 dB. So I'm surprised you wouldn't be able to hear anything.
Yeah, the only thing I could really hear was the click. So I actually purposely blocked everyone out. I try not to listen to anyone when we're playing.
For those who don't know, and every once in a while, I've been in studios quite a bit, actually, and had to play drums, and someone will say, after a few takes, you want to click? And I say, nope, I'll figure it out. And we try to figure it out. What is a click track for a drummer like you? What does that mean? What's happening in your ears exactly?
It's just a metronome that you have in your ear. You listen to the metronome while you play. So it's just a clicking. They call it the click. It's just a click. Like clicks like a metronome.
Literally sounds like a kind of sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Michael Winslow from Police Academy over here. What's going on? You hear that? That was pretty impressive. You got it.
Yeah.
So does the speed, does someone adjust the metronome to the tempo of the song and you play along to that instead of like your colleagues and their instruments? Is that how that works or is it always the same?
No. We work out the BPM usually before we go into the studio. So we were rehearsing with a click to get the right tempo for the song that we want. Just to make sure the song is the right tempo.
So you've done this before?
Yeah, we did on the first record and this record.
You know, there's a Levon Helm. Do you know the drummer Levon Helm?
Yeah, from the band. Familiar?
That's right. He was in the band and he had an amazing VHS drum lessons video. And he's just talking about stuff he does. And he at one point he says, you know, a lot of guys tell you to use a metronome. And a guy tried to tell me to do that, and I just said, man, that ain't my cup of meat. And I was like, oh, shit. That is a good thing. Like, what if someone said, if Broen, let me ask Mike, Mike, if Broen came up to you one day and he's like, you know, these bass parts, they're not my cup of meat. How would you take that? What would you do with that information?
Well, I know Broen's a vegetarian, so that would be a surprising comment in the first place.
That ain't my cup of beyond meat. Is that what he would say? Yeah. I find the metronome interesting. Is it alienating at all, Broen, to have this like click track to play to instead of, you know, instruments? And do you hear the instruments at all? I know Brian was saying like all you heard was the click. Is that right?
Pretty much, yeah. No, I like playing to the click better than playing with people. It's much more reliable.
Yes. Brian, are you the Kanye West fan from the last time we spoke? You're big into Kanye, is that right?
Yeah, I like Kanye. Yeah, he's good.
Because at the time, and I did revisit that interview recently, you made a big deal about, you know, politics doesn't matter to me. I'm just about the vibes and the feelings. And I was like, really? Because at that point, even, he was kind of being a motherfucker. And I had seen him a billion times. I had all his records. And you were like, yeah, I don't care about what he says or does. How you feeling now, Broen? Because they feel like he's really gone downhill since the last time we spoke, and he was already down at the bottom pretty much.
Well, that was never really what I said, to be honest. No, I think what I said and what is still true today is that I don't really know Kanye before Yeezus. And I don't really know him after Pablo. So I kind of checked out. I was really into Kanye for like two records. So I don't really follow him now. I know I hear stuff, obviously, but I'm not like into whatever he's doing now, or I don't even know what he's doing now. But I was really into Kanye.
He's
for
He's packing
those
up his house,
Broen.
He's packing up his house and moving out. He got divorced, and it's
I did know that.
It's
yeah,
kind of sad, frankly. But I bring him up because I assume if you like Kanye, you like other synthesized drumming. You like hip hop. You like other kind of, you know, synthesized beats.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just, when it sounds cool, I like it. There's no real, I don't know.
Okay. Fair enough. I appreciate this. I was just trying to get to the bottom of a couple things. I got to the bottom of nothing. So that's on me. Mike, I'm going to go to you. Did we talk about the lyrics? Did you pick up on anything? Did you have to help with any of the lyrical themes on Cooler Returns?
There was a fun line in the song Cooler Returns where we ended up landing on something to do with horse racing, which was pretty fun, like something to post. I can't remember the specific line, but yeah, that had been talked about quite a bit. And there were also conversations about what kind of t-shirt the person would be wearing and waiting in line, and really like subtle things that would get argued for an incredible amount of time. You'd be surprised. Same goes for actually landing on the BPMs and stuff. We would talk about like tempos for forever and ever, and we would just go back and forth from one BPM just to try to nail it. So yeah, sort of similar. Getting into the granular details of sorting out one specific description of a line.
Who is interested in horse racing per se? Why did horse racing get invoked?
I think we're all pretty interested, but Brian is grew up going to the track, I think, quite a bit, and so he was really into horse racing. And then we've all been out here as well, in just outside of Toronto to watch them as well. So yeah, we all kind of enjoy it.
What's the in Toronto? It's the Woodbine. Is that the one? Is that what it's called?
Woodbine is Thoroughbred, but Standard Bred is out in Mohawk.
Oh, here we go. You're gonna get with the breads with me. I don't know these breads. What? There's two breads.
Yeah, there's two breads.
Okay,
Thorough and Standard.
Thoroughbred and Standard Bred?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Standard breds have faster twitch muscles, can run overall faster distances.
Yeah, because that's why strong, you say they're a thoroughbred or something? Like, that's why we...
Yeah.
Right. The twitch muscles, really?
Yeah, they have faster twitch muscles, so they're technically faster horses. A lot of people think that when the jockey's on top of the horse, that's the fastest style, but it's actually the standard bred when they're in the sulky in the back.
Oh, why do you know so much about horse racing? What got you into horse racing?
My dad was a big horse guy. He always had horses, race horses, and I used to go to the track a couple times a week.
Wow. This is in PEI.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a track rat.
Well, that is remarkable. I didn't realize that. You know, Brian, I will say, and I don't know, do you want me to talk about your Instagram at all? Can we do that? Can we give it a little plug? Or do you not want to be inundated with my listeners following you on Instagram?
I couldn't care less.
Well, that is very rude. What is your Instagram handle, first of all?
It's the Brib.
The Brib. The B-R-I-B. You do, and I will say this as a fan, I'm a huge fan of your work on Instagram. There's no one better. Every day I go on Instagram and I look, and if it comes up, you will post things about PEI, news articles, and they are the funniest fucking thing. If I see one of those, it's the funniest thing that's happened to me all day. So first of all, may I commend you? Do you accept my praise?
Yeah, thanks. That means a lot. You know, it's a lot of hard work that I put into it, hours a day, every day. So it means a lot to get that recognition that I deserve.
So what do you do for people who don't know and are about to follow you? What do you do on there?
I just take screen grabs of some of the sort of silly headlines that get published out there. You know, there's not a lot of big news days out in Charlottetown. A lot of slow news days.
A lot of absurd news days, if I might say. It's almost always absurd.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice break, you know, to read about some dude growing beets rather than American politics.
Yeah, I think...
Hey, I do remember some crime beat, though, a little bit. I remember something like police looking for stolen iPhone 6.
Yeah, and the golf carts that got... someone took a bunch of golf carts for a joyride, and the RCMP was on the case. Anytime you get RCMP or city councilors involved in like a petty crime or argument
it's very funny. It seems like a lot of effort and energy that goes into every aspect of it. The fact that someone sat down and thought, I guess this is my news article I have to write, even that part is amusing. It's the incident and then the follow through. Well, we got to cover this. Like, it's amazing. Yeah. Do any of you miss, you're all from PEI. We established this last time you were on the show. I wonder, do you miss it? Jeremy, do you miss PEI? And by following, I assume you follow the Brib. Do you get a little flavor of home when you see that? And do you feel like, kind of miss that place? Do you get that at all, Jer?
Well, it's a difficult question to answer because you got to separate the hard-hitting headlines that Brian's posting from, you know, missing your family and the city itself. You know, you can't get a slice of pizza in Charlottetown after like 6 p.m. Don't miss stuff like that.
Some kind of Italian ordinance. You can't go.
It's anti-Italian discrimination.
Past 6 p.m. That seems weird. I would feel bad being Italian in PEI. I'll tell you that much. That's bad. So yeah. So you miss it, but do you ever think you'll move back there, Jeremy?
No. I mean, it would be a really nice place to retire to, I think, like a long time from now, but I can't see myself going back there to work a job or anything like that. I try to go back once or twice a year to visit family, and it's really nice in the summer, right?
Yeah.
So I try to get back in the summer sometimes, do some golfing, barbecuing.
You've really, really established yourself now as one of the biggest, I was going to say champions, but you really spend a lot of time writing about Toronto. And I think we talked about this last time. I wondered if the first blast of Kiwi Junior was like, oh my God, I'm in Toronto, and I'm going to write about everything. But as the time goes on, I feel like there's still that mix of what is this place, a little bit of pride about the place, a little bit of mocking the place. And when you invoke something like North by Northeast in a song, I can't help but think, well, that's a bit of a... Those of us around don't really like that thing that much, but maybe you do. I'm sorry, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you make a little... It's very Toronto-oriented. You're like a Toronto guy now. Do you feel that? Do you feel like you're a strong Toronto champion of some kind?
Well, Brian is actually the official mayor of Dundas, the Dundas Strip.
Whoa, what? I don't even live in Toronto.
Oh, where are you living right now?
Kind of west towards like Jane Street. Still Toronto.
Oh, okay. You're not in the downtown part.
We tease Brian that he lives in Etobicoke because he lives the furthest west of any of us.
Yeah, I used to get that living in Guelph. Oh, you live way west. You live in West Toronto. And I was like, what? No, that's not true. Yeah. Well, anyway, it's... So, sorry, to answer... So, you diverted. You sent us to Brian. Are you... You don't want to answer this question about your Toronto bona fides at this point?
Yeah, well, I've lived here now for almost 8 years. So, I'm not like a Toronto... I don't... cheer for the Leafs is what I'm trying to say.
I don't either. You're a Habs fan.
Yeah, we all are.
Is that a PEI thing to just be into the Montreal Canadiens?
I think it's an East Coast thing.
Why is that? What is it? Why is there a legacy, a tradition of rooting for the Montreal team? Because of the closest.
It probably has to do with just it's close, and it probably has to do with there, you know, being a larger French speaking population in the Maritimes,
right?
Acadian ancestry, stuff like that. But yeah, I like to write about Toronto, but that's it's a funny thing to again to kind of separate, you know, Toronto from just my life, right? Like. For instance, if I go back to PEI to visit family and they ask, how's Toronto? They're really just, you know, asking, how are things, right?
Yeah, sure.
I'm not going to get into, like, the city council's decision to do whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think just by writing about, I try to write about things I see, like you were saying, I am trying to be a...
I use the word observational.
Yeah, what did you say?
I said observational, yeah. Like you're a comedian.
Yeah, a lot of that... you ever notice what is that?
What's the deal with Dundas Street?
Every Kiwi Junior song, for those who haven't heard them, begins with "What's the deal with?" And then you get going, and we're like, "What? That's weird." No, you do seem immersed in that. I touched upon some themes. Brian did. Mike did. Broen is ignoring you. He doesn't listen to anything you say in the band. Do you want to touch upon any of the things we talked about? I mentioned funerals, laying in state. Tennis mm-hmm. comes up. There's horses now. What's going on? Is this just a because you wrote in a batch of songs, were there common themes, or were you kind of getting at something thematically?
Well, I can tell you that I spent a lot more time on the lyrics with this record compared to the last record. We had our studio session initially booked for like May or something to start making the record, and then when the pandemic hit, we pushed it a couple of months. And that gave me more time to just kind of go over every lyric from song to song. And I wanted to try to, you know, sew a little bit of a through line between the songs lyrically. So there definitely are different images that pop up over the record. You know, and like, this isn't a concept record or anything like that. It is just a collection of 13 songs. But sometimes it helps to just, you know, maybe I'll make another tennis reference in this song and kind of tie things together a little bit like that.
Yeah, it's like the infinite jest of indie rock. In 2021. That's basically what you've written here, I think, when I think about it. You know, I was joking, but yeah, there are a lot of words. When I was reading the, you know, I had my binoculars out and a magnifying glass to read the lyrics, and I was like, yeah, this is really well thought out, thoughtful stuff, and I like the way the phrasing is always really great. I like you. I think you're good. Can we be friends?
The old good cop, bad cop routine coming back. And now you want to be friends, huh?
Fuck that Broen guy. I'm all in on Jeremy. I like Team Jeremy right now. No, I'm kidding. No, they're really, it's really, it's dense still, though. I mean, you've still got that density of language that you got a lot going on, don't you, wouldn't you say? Are you conscious of that, Jeremy?
Yeah, big time, man. Yeah, sometimes there's too many words and I'm worried it's a bit ranty, you know? I don't want to be writing like, oh, great, here's Kiwi Junior's Thursday night rant again.
No, there's some very... But, I was reading the... you know what I was going to say? I was reading some of the lyrics out to my wife. Just as a slight segue, tell me what you make of this. The other day I was Googling Vish Khanna and the Wailers, because I once interviewed the Wailers, the band, and as we're speaking, Bunny Wailer sadly just passed away, and I was like, where's that interview? I can't find it. And then at the bottom when you Google, it says all the related searches, and the top one was Vish Khanna wife. What stalking shit is happening here? But then I realized it's
what's next, like Vish Khanna feet.
six foot two. I was wondering what it meant, but then my wife's like, well, you always talk about me on the show in an app. I'm always like, my wife and I were listening to your record, my wife and I were talking about your book,
plus she's in your intro too, right? She does the, like, hi, I'm Visha's wife, and if you don't subscribe to this podcast, something...
Yeah, she threatens wrong? Everyone. That's right. That's, you paraphrased it properly. Yeah, yeah, I do have her doing...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she does actually identify herself as... You're right. There's probably enough reasons for her to be Googled as part of me. But anyway, my point was, you think that's why? That's probably why it's happening. Who is this woman Why does she like this guy?
You should
guy?
Put out a statement. You should put out a big statement. Stop Googling my wife.
That's what this is. I'm doing it right now.
Don't email my wife.
My point is, I was reading the lyrics out to her, and we were laughing, because I was reading the whole sequence about, I take pictures of your pictures, and friends of mine online, I'm paraphrasing, friends of mine online like them. It's very funny. It's very clever and funny, but it's a lot of words, and I can tell you put a lot of thought into it. That's all I'm getting at.
Yeah. We had, I've told this before, but while we were making the record, I put all of the lyric ideas, you know, some people will have like a little notebook where they put ideas or something. We had a binder, like one of those like 5-star binders. And there was like, it was pretty heavy by the end of it with just a million different lyric ideas and riff ideas and stuff like that.
Does writing come from conversations with the other guys in the band? Like, are you guys talking about something and you think, I got to capture this. This is ridiculous.
I can think of one example where Mike said something to me and it was really funny. And we were like, yeah, we got to put that in a song. And I can say that it's a line from Cooler Returns, the song, where one time we were at a bar and Mike was asking me to get change for the jukebox. And he said, hey, I don't want to task you out, but, yeah.
I noticed that. That's a great expression. That is a totally amazing expression. I noticed that. And I'm like, who talks like this? Is this some, because I can't
Mike
keep
Walker.
Up. I can't keep up with all the social media vernacular and jargon. So, hey, man, I don't want to task you out. Mike, where did you come up with that? That's clever. That's good.
I think it was from the bottom of a few pints. I don't think it came from anywhere else.
Everything just sort of happens to Mike. Nothing is conscious. It's just magic at the bottom. Yeah,
magic,
yeah.
Mike.
Did I describe you earlier as Mr. Polite? Is this just your politeness coming through? Look, I don't want to bother anyone, but I need money for a jukebox because it's 1994, and that's what we do. We play jukebox music in a bar. Are you just being polite?
Hey, they're your words. I don't know. You tell me.
just a flattery session here, except for Broen. Thank you for responding to that question. I want to ask Brian a quick question about the sound of this record, and then I'm going to let you all go. I feel like you've put up with me long enough, and this has been very antagonistic, and I don't know what's gotten into me. I feel overly friendly with you guys. It doesn't happen all the time. You listen to the show. Does this seem particularly pointed, Brian? You listen to the show sometimes.
Yeah. It's a little rowdier than usual, maybe. Yeah. Friday night ruckus.
I feel like the last time we spoke was also a Friday night, and I was a little amped up then too. I don't know what's going on with us on Friday.
Yeah, nights. And then you were pumped up to go get what's the pizza? You wouldn't stop talking about Fresca.
Fresca pizza. That's right.
You were very pumped about as soon as you left Mike's house. You were off to get some Fresca.
Yeah. Did you end up trying it after I upsold it?
I don't think I've ever had it.
Oh,
I can't remember.
Is it still around?
I think so.
You guys wouldn't know. I just assume everything's boarded up and shut down. There. Broen, are you having an okay time? I know I've been very hard on you, but is there going to be negative comments in my podcast reviews for this episode? Are you okay, Broen?
No, I love being included. It's great.
In whatever shape or form, you're just happy to be involved. Okay.
Just happy to be here. Yeah.
So, Brian, Broen was talking about the click track and how that influenced his playing. Sonically, musically, do you feel like there were any particular departures or innovations on Cooler Returns compared to Football Money?
Yeah, probably the biggest takeaway for me was that before recording, we all talked about including more acoustic guitars and piano, organ, harmonica, and stuff like that. So there's definitely, in my ears anyway, slightly more subdued guitars, like more acoustic and less big, beefy electrics. There's a lot of songs where the bass is the most distorted instrument on the song.
Inbred style, so like inbred style, maybe almost.
Yeah, totally. And a lot of those, you hear a lot of those Flying Nun bands too, like the guitars are pretty clean, but still have that downstrokey kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
So that was a big one. For me, the record really kind of took a lot of life when we tracked all the piano with our guru friend.
That's Jay McCarroll?
Yeah, exactly.
Who would the people know Jay from? What does he do?
He's one half of the one of the best, funniest shows to ever come out of Toronto, Nirvana, the band, the show.
Yeah, they've been guests on a version of this show, and I really enjoyed them. And he is a very funny. I guess he played a musician on the show. It's not any secret that.
Yeah, he went to like Berkeley or something. He's a total pro.
And how do you know him?
Just through Toronto music scene.
Okay, you guys are big comedy fans though, too, right? You like comedy.
Yep.
You love to laugh.
We like to laugh, yeah.
Broen, do you agree? Do you like to laugh?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God.
Appreciate the contribution, Broen. That's great. I thought I heard some... was there like some slide guitar and stuff happening on some songs? Or is there some interesting guitar? You say that it was sort of minimal, but I heard some really cool guitar parts. Brian, do you have anything to do with that? I assume you did.
Yeah, I played the slide stuff. I think it's on two of the songs.
A little bit of George Harrison feeling to those songs, if I might say. I think of him when I hear stuff like that.
Yeah, most people gravitate to George when they hear the slide. I know me and Jeremy were listening to a lot of Jackson Browne, so David Lindley definitely came up in conversation.
Okay.
We're huge fans, but yeah, I guess it was just the Maid Marians and... I'm only here for a haircut. The solo on Maid Marians was originally Jeremy playing like a sort of slightly more noisy solo. We were going to try and have the two going at the same time, but it didn't quite work out. And eventually Jeremy kind of did the harmonica solo on top of my slide solo.
Well, it's all, you know, we're getting into the thick of it here. And I do want people to check out this record, but I appreciate the insight because it's lovely. It's a great record. And I've been playing it a lot and I enjoy it, you guys, very much. I'm sad I can't see you play sometime soon. Would you ever, Mike, would you ever come to Edmonton? Have you ever played Edmonton as Kiwi Junior?
No, never as Kiwi Junior. I played soccer in Edmonton once. It was an okay time. Went to the West Edmonton Mall.
You flew to Edmonton, I presume. Mm-hmm. Did you fly?
Yep.
You flew all the way here with just you and a soccer ball on the plane. You got to the West Edmonton Mall. And
kicked around for an hour.
And then we're like, got to go back. Why did you do this? Why did you come all the way here to play soccer?
It was years and years ago for like some tournament, like a national championship tournament in Edmonton.
Jesus, are you like you're a great soccer player?
Hey, your words, not mine, man.
Well, I can't get it. I'm leading all the questions. You're right. This is bad journalism. For anyone listening, this is terrible journalism. This whole time with Kiwi Junior, bad. Don't teach this in class. Well, teach this in class as a learning moment. What not to do.
What not to do.
Absolutely. You're really great at soccer, though, if I might say. Like, you must have been good to play.
I like to play. I played in university and stuff. So, yeah.
Wow.
I miss playing, actually, if we're like on the topic. I'm sure everyone does.
Right, because the last album was called Football Money, which was about soccer. And so I'm putting it all together now. I'm like Columbo, kind of, I guess. Jeremy, do you like soccer? Football?
Yeah. I like sports. Mike said he misses playing soccer, but somebody recently asked me a question about when Mike is going to go get all the soccer balls from on top of the LCBO, and I was like, what are you talking about? And then later on, Mike told me that he keeps kicking soccer balls over the fence and onto the roof of the LCBO when he's playing or something.
Yeah, it's a classic Sandlot scene. If someone has a ladder out there, a really tall one, meet me at the Dundas and Bloor LCBO. It'll just be Christmas when it comes to soccer balls retrieval.
Are you doing this on purpose?
Absolutely not.
So you're a terrible soccer player. I retract what I said earlier. You're not a good soccer player. You have no precision.
I will say Brian came out once, and he put one up there pretty quickly. So.
Yes, but 20 minutes in, I ruined the day.
And that day we only had one ball. So yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I'm sorry to end on such a down note with the soccer balls on the roof, but... No, I appreciate this very much. I'm going to ask... No, Broen's not going to know. Who knows where to send people to learn more about Kiwi Junior other than Broen? Now, Broen, do you know? Where would you... If you had... Okay, Broen, a stranger comes up to you on the street. They see you in your Kiwi Junior regalia. They say, hey, you must know about Kiwi Junior. Where do I learn more about them on the internet? What would you say?
I would say if it was somebody's like parent, I would say go to Facebook. If it was like a younger person, I would say you could go to the Twitter. And if it was like a person that was of medium age, I would say you could check out the Instagram.
I've never had an intergenerational answer to this question. People just pick a thing. Okay, well, that was helpful. And so what would
have KiwiJunior.com might be the simplest solution.
Or you can go to the website and all of them are
right,
there.
KiwiJunior.com. I think everyone speaks internet website language, so that's probably the easiest thing. By the way, and you guys, I noticed on the back of your record, you have your own little imprint now. Is that right, Jeremy? Kiwi Club?
Yeah, the record came out on Sub Pop internationally, but in Canada, we put it out ourselves, Kiwi Club.
I was going to say, congratulations. It must be quite a thrill to be on the same record label as, you know, that had Soundgarden on it. That's pretty amazing. How does it feel to be on Sub Pop?
It's been great. There's so many other good artists, so it's like it's pretty cool to see our name next to some of our favorite bands, like, you know, Constantine's.
Yeah.
Wolf Parade, a lot of good bands.
They love Canada. Eric's Trip, Elevator, Chad Van Galen, they love Canadians.
Was Jail on there?
Jail was on there. Mets still on there. No, it's great. I'm very happy. I'm happy for you for what that's worth. I'm happy for you and your business dealings and also for the great music you're still making. Okay, well, so people can find Kiwi Junior on the internet. I want to go out on a song from the record, if that's permissible. And if so, well, we have to do this by consensus. I'm going to start with Mike, if that's okay. Mike, what would you pick if you had to pick one song for us to play right now?
Norma Jean's Jacket.
It didn't sound like Mike. That sounded like someone else.
I wanted to try and predict what he was going to say.
He would
Sorry.
Be right. I'm feeling Dodger, though. I think I would go with Dodger. I quite like that.
Now, Norma Jean's Jacket features a quote from the Elton John song, Candle in the Wind. It includes the line, goodbye, goodbye, Norma Jean. And I thought that would be a nice note to end on. But you went with Dodger. Why Dodger? Did, yeah. Dodger got some basketball stuff happening, I think.
I like the absurdity of the lyrics. Oh, sorry, Jay. Go for it.
I was just going to say, yeah.
Glad we got to that affirmation. That was good. Jeremy, it does have a basketball reference. Am I correct?
Yeah, you know, the Dodgers, two baseball teams, too.
Well, yeah, that's what I was confused about. It says, I feel like the line is, and again, I have nothing in front of me except your beautiful faces, but in my head, the line is something like a Brooklyn Dodger takes like a foul shot. Is that right?
That's right,
Six
yeah.
Six foul shot, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. So I know. Okay, look, you guys think I'm such a fucking asshole who hates you, and like I poured over your lyrics. I read them out to my wife. I like you guys. Get off my back. I listened to the record.
You've done your research.
Okay. Just making sure we're all clear that I know what I'm doing. I know some of you think I'm such a jerk, and I apologize. I'm sorry. Anyway, you want to go with Dodger? Jeremy, do you veto Mike's choice of Dodger, or do you think that's a good way to go?
We can play that one.
Ooh, that felt half-hearted at best. What do you think, Brian? Is Dodger the way to go?
You know, it's got kind of a fade in, so I'm just curious whether it has that impact.
That was my concern as well. I thought about voicing it, but
wow,
it's slow to get involved. Whereas, so that if you wanted to add it as a, you've been listening to Creative Control, this is Kiwi Junior. You want a hard cut into a song, right?
I don't need to get into the production weeds with you about my show. We can do whatever you want. Songs start slowly, or they.
I'm not trying to tell you how to run your show.
Well, it seems like you kind of are. Maybe you should. I clearly don't know what I'm doing.
Had a plan for Norma Jean Jacket. Let's do it. Because I like that one too. So, yeah, let's do it. And Brian was right as well. Like, normally I would go Norma Jean. Maybe it was just out of spite that I changed my vote.
I think we'll play both songs simultaneously. And then people will have to... No, I'm not going to do that. Okay. I'm sorry. This was sort of a... Broen, do you want to weigh in on this debate?
Oh, I'd love to hear a Guilty Party, actually. Let's play Guilty Party.
All right, this is Guilty Party by Kiwi Junior on Creative Control. Thank you very much, Kiwi Junior, for being back on the show, and we will talk to you soon, I hope, in person and beyond. Take care and talk soon.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks a lot for having us.
Welcome the young detective in the rain. His jacket is crying suede. It's so sentimental. Sobbing all night. He follows your dance. Heavy metal, you're purring around, turning him down. Yeah, like you're used to it. I can hardly stand it. Why not just down to the ground. All of us heartache.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, a quick point of clarification, everyone. I know you heard what the band said there. They wanted to hear the song Norma Jean's Jacket, but then Broen picked Guilty Party, and then I suggested we were going to hear Guilty Party, but you did end up hearing Norma Jean's Jacket because Broen, he just seems like the type of person where if he makes a suggestion, you should veto it. And so I made the executive decision post-production to veto Broen's suggestion, and we went with Norma Jean's Jacket. So just so we're clear, even though I threw to Guilty Party, as selected by Broen, I vetoed him, as you should do. If you see him on the street, veto him. And then tell him that you want to hear Norma Jean's Jacket, because that's what you heard from the exciting and wonderful new record, Cooler Returns, by Kiwi Jr. Thanks again to everyone from Kiwi Jr. for returning to this show, this time for the 612th episode of Creative Control, which is part of the Entertainment One podcast network and is available wherever you get your podcasts. If you can't find an episode, you've heard about one and people are talking about it, but you can't find it on any of the popular podcast platforms, or if you want to learn more about me and sign up for my monthly newsletter, all of those things, you can pretty much figure them all out by visiting my website, vishkana.com. You can like Creative Control on Facebook or follow the show on Twitter at Vish Creative, or you can follow me directly on Twitter and on Instagram at Vish Khanna. Please consider visiting patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation to sustain Creative Control. $6 or more a month grants you access to exclusive content, and if you're interested in receiving a Creative Control t-shirt, just message me on Patreon and I'll set you up while supplies last. Again, you don't have to stick to $6 a month. You could donate whatever you want. It could be higher, it could be lower, whatever you can afford to or feel compelled to donate. That's just nice. So thank you. Patreon.com/creativecontrol. Thanks again to the fine Alberta record retailer Blackbird Music, which you can learn more about and place special orders at via their website, blackbird.ca. Also, thanks to liveatmasseyhall.com, where you can watch beautifully captured concerts by great Canadian artists, hopefully someday, including Kiwi Jr., if all goes well. And also thanks to Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton for their in-kind support for this show. Also want to thank my friend Jim Guthrie for lending me some music for the program. You can learn more about Jim and his work at jimguthrie.org. And finally, thank you very much for listening to this episode with Kiwi Jr. I hope you enjoyed it. I think we had a good time. I did. And I appreciate those gentlemen. They're really fun, and I love their band. And so, yeah, thank you for listening to this episode with them. Thank you for considering you could subscribe to the podcast. You could tell your friends about Creative Control. Maybe that'll help spread the word about it. Whatever you can do, or you're also just fine to do nothing. You've listened this far to this one. Maybe that's it. That's it between you and me. I don't know. Whatever you want to do. I just appreciate you. Thank you. I will talk to you soon, I hope. Bye for now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.